Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Late Night Poetry Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild, blue at nature and passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters with Twisted Tuesdays. Early Wednesday at 1 p.m., join us for Keeping It Brief, and then tune in later on that evening for Turn Up the Heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Sullen Art with Richard Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasian and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry, and Saturday, split with Grey Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and Exploring Aphasia with Captain B2 and Dan. If you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Come take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Join Jeremy as he brings you the Headliner's Balls on Thursday. Friday, Break On Through with Pam. Saturday, join a Faye and a Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean. How are you doing?
I'm good, Rex. And how are you tonight?
Fine. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. It looks like you have a wonderful board up for tonight's music. It looks like a lot of fun. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely. Yeah, other than being a little chilly and, you know, damp up here in my neck of the woods, everything's kind of all right. You know, life is dragging me 15 different directions, but that's nothing unusual. It's a little more. Usually 14. 15 kind of throws me a curve, but, you know, I'm surviving. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm gearing up for Halloween. We all are, I think. You know, that's our week of the year.
Yeah,
that crazy.
I got a couple of more thoughts there, and you can have my two entries for later in the month.
Awesome sauce. Yeah, I just want to get them up so we can get them out to everybody and they can all, you know, pick their poisons, you know, in one way or another. But we have the week of Halloween coming up, and we have, well, every host or hostess will have a show with some different direction of Halloween involved. So I put a page up on my main page that gives you the schedule, and anything has a contest open already will be highlighted as a link, and I hope everybody will check it out and, yeah, see what they can find. We got some interesting stuff going on. You know, so it's all good, right? It's all good. And, yeah, so other than that, I'm done advertising. What can I tell you? We've got a couple of callers on the line. How about I pick them up?
Sure.
Okay. First off, we have Robert M. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the party.
Yo.
Hey, Robert.
What's
great? How are you doing?
I'm all right. Still kind of hot over here, but other than that, I'm doing all right.
I'll send you some of this chilly air I got.
Yeah, please do.
Open the window. Open up the window. Maybe it'll switch.
It's already open. Waiting.
All right. All right. There you go. And last but never least, we have Miss Pam Ray. Hello, Pam. How are you tonight?
I am doing great. Hi, Jean. Hi, Rex. Hi, Robert. Good to hear you all.
Yeah. It's what now. This is a party. This is a party.
Absolutely.
Looks like Gray might be joining that party.
Oh, nice, nice. I was going to ask
you
who was bartending, but oh yes, Gray. Yeah, I got a bone to pick with Gray. He put up his Halloween contest. He put up all these women in costumes. There wasn't one man in the crowd. I had to ask him where the beef was. What is up with that? Where is the beef? Oh, here he is. Here he is. Hello,
for the brightest
Greg.
Side of it. Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Hi, Rex. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Gray.
Hey, Gray.
Where's the beef, man? Where's the beef? Us ladies want to know where the beef
is. Yeah, I'll have to get your help with that. Multiple picture posting.
I actually, you know, well, I'm not going to repeat what Lou said on his board, but I was laughing because I helped her kind of like come up with that too. So we were being devilish. Yeah, I thought maybe that was the picture you needed help with. I'm like, oh, no, I don't do long distance photos. But yeah.
Hey, Greg.
I'll help you out.
Since Gene asked that question, go back in time to the late 70s, early 80s. And get that commercial for Where's the Beef? And put up those little old ladies.
The beef. Yep.
Yeah.
Where's the beef? That could run off a lot of entries, man. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, that one was a little gruff.
Yeah, she was. She really was. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Rex, I'm turning it back over to you. I'm going to shut up for a little while. Yeah.
Well, I guess we can kick things off then.
Okay, I didn't know if you had anything. Normally you have
just, this was just something to kick off the month. Since we are partying for Halloween.
Awesome. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We have, I can't do it that way. Okay, Rex, I'm going to have you read the first one by Damn it, Dave. There we go. Oh, my God.
All right. Running with the Devil by Damn it, Dave. I'm running with the devil, and I know salvation is a long, long road to hoe. It's hard to find redemption on this road when sin's the only seed I've ever sowed. My demons want to keep me in the race as they're behind me, ever giving chase. Deliverance is grace I'll never find when wickedness is always on my mind. I'm running with the devil, and I feel the wounds of my transgressions cannot heal. The face of God's really hard to see when blinded by my immorality. But in my mind, I think it's just as well that I am on the interstate to hell. The angels that I've known aren't any fun, so I'll stay with the devil on the run. And poem. All right, Pam, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
All right. I know. But what I want to do and what my mute button will allow me to do is two different things. So, first of all, great read there, Rex. As always, Damn It Dave has a wonderful rhyming poem. I really liked the main message being that whole idea of living that life on that highway to hell, even though I know it wasn't written to that song, but it still kind of fit with that whole idea. But also, I really liked the second stanza especially. But I have to say that the humor, the dark humor at the end where he says, but in my mind, I think it's just as well that I am on the interstate to hell. The angels that I've known aren't any fun, so I'll stay with the devil on the run. You know, more fun with the sinners than with the saints. I like that. Very cool.
That's a little Billy Joel action on that one. Thank you, Pam. Gray, how about you? Gray, you're muted.
Sorry, yes, I was muting. You did a wonderful read on that, Rex. And you know, I like the poem. I like the take on the prompt. It captures the essence of running with the devil quite wonderfully. And but in my mind, I think it's just as well that I'm on the interstate to hell. The angels that I've known aren't any fun, so I'll stay with the devil on the run. Yeah, I mean, you know, saints can be boring, I'm sure.
Thank you, Greg. And Robert, how about you?
Well, I always like pieces like this, with the whole back and forth, and eventually the succumbing to the immorality, which almost all of us do. It's just so strong, isn't it? I mean, you try to be a good person, but what can you do? You know, if you're running with the devil, I just tell the devil, keep on going, and I'll catch up, you know, because screw that. But, you know, me being on the shows more often now, I'm starting to see more and more work and becoming more and more impressed with poets. And Damn It, Dave always seems to have some quality poetry with some, sometimes some comedic aspects. And then also his rhyme is great. The structure is great. And the message is on point, right, with the prompt. And I like how he ended it. So I'll stay with the devil on the run. Basically, you know, like he just, yeah, I'll just do me and just do this and just be myself, I guess. It's the best I can do, you know, and that's the best all of us can do. So I really enjoy his poetry now and that I know of him. And yeah, I thought it was a great poem and right on point.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Robert. Gene, how about you?
Wayne, I thought this was an excellent take on the prompt and really well penned. You know, Damn It, Dave, you can't take away the rhyme and flow. You know, he really is great at it. But I loved his intro stanza. I'm running with the devil, and I know salvation is a long, long road to hoe. It's hard to find redemption on this road when sin's the only seed I've ever sowed. You know, and I liked how he entered into, you know, the prompt right from the beginning, and I think it really, I think it really prompted the reader to want to read more. So I thought that was great. Nice work, Dave.
Thank you, Gene. And I got to go with Robert's comment. Hit all the right points. The note to some subtle humor. That second line in the first stanza does double dip on that. That salvation is a long, long road to hoe. The double dip on hoe was, I thought, was a nice touch. And the idea of deliverance is a grace I'll never find when wickedness is always on my mind plays off the angle too, with the thought to angels not being very fun. So the idea is understanding and knowing who you are and going all in, so to speak, as to what you're going to do with life. And, hey, have fun while you're on that road to hell. So nicely done, Dave. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. All right.
Okie dokie. Now, listen, I'm going to take the next one. And, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read the next one because I don't think I could read it. I just don't. I don't.
Okie dokie. And I only have to read it, right? Okay.
Oh, if you
cool.
want to sing it, we would like that. Ask Rex. He's the boy.
No, that won't be happening.
That's good.
All right. This is I'm Your Devil by Betty Page, and it goes like this. Mating with the devil, yeah, oh yes. I run my hell called Lilith's Hollow. Give all you got. I'm going to steal because I need to bite, then I'll swallow. Yes, I'm sucking on your face with thrills. Yeah, ooh. Mating with the devil, oh hell yeah. Ooh, who you? Mating with the devil, yes, I'm, yeah, ooh. You know I. I grabbed this fine young man, ain't he subtle? When I lashed out, grabbed his throat. I've got no love you'll call real. Ain't got no fine man waiting at home, mating with the devil. Hold on, I'm mating, yeah, mating with the devil. Ooh, one more time, mating with the devil, oh yeah, yes. Mating with the devil, so cruel. Mating with the devil, I'll force you, yell help. I grabbed this fine young man, ain't he subtle? When I lashed out, grabbed his throat. I've got no love you'd call real. Ain't got no fine man waiting at home. Mating with the devil, yeah. Mating with the devil, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mating with the devil. End poem.
Oh,
I expect to have next month's paycheck. Thank you.
Oh, that was good. Thank you, Pam. Gray, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, amazing read, Pam. And I like the poem. You know, it really captures the essence of the song as well. You know, twists it to meeting with the devil and then makes it sexual and sensual throughout. And I thought she did a wonderful job capturing the essence of the prompt. Beautifully read, Pam.
Thank you, Greg. And Gene, how about you?
I thought she did a great job with the parody. I can just see me now. I'd have never made it through. But definitely, it was a wonderful parody. And Pam, you did an excellent job reading that. I appreciated it. Just a nice piece and great job, Betty. It was a good take on that prompt. You know, it really was. She made it her own, that's for sure. So, awesome sauce.
Thank you, Gene. Robert, how about you?
I mean, I still think we should have had Gene read it, and you know, because. But Pam did do a. Yeah, you did it well, Pam. It would have been hard to make it through because it's one of those that you just can't help but react to, you know. And yeah, as a parody esque type thing, she did a great job with it because I myself like to mirror things and to take them and make them my own. And she did a great job of that with you know, throwing in some sensuality and some sassy wildness, you know. And, but, you know, that's her forte, so she did a great job of that. And, yeah, thanks for the read, Pam. That was worthwhile. Thanks.
Thank you, Robert. Pam, since you got to read it, your turn.
Yes, well, you know, it was a great parody all the way through, spot on. It, you know, it's amazing how you just change, like, one word in a line, and it gives the song a whole new meaning.
Amen.
So from running with the devil to mating with the devil. You know, it was great fun. Like Phil said, she makes it all her own. Like Robert said, it's got sass in it. An attitude, and I really liked when I lashed out, grabbed his throat, "I've got no love, no love you call real." You know, so excellent dark lines and very well done.
Oh, thank you, everyone. You all hit the right notes, and I'll tell you what, she took this line by line, as everybody said, did make it her own, and it rolls as a wonderful parody, too. Because she just lit into this with everything she had on the table. And there's no straining as to what's being delivered. Nicely done, Betty. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay, well, the next one I have the song that it is written to. So I'm going to play this piece, and then we're going to move into the poem. So here we go.
Run, run, run. Oh, what? Nyko.
Yes. Go ahead. Sorry, Rex.
No, it's okay.
Sorry. I was just going to put up the piece, so whatever you were going to say, please do.
No, that was all I was going to say. So definitely you can drop the piece in the board.
Right. Well, I definitely had to mute myself because I can't help but sing with that one. So that would be terrible. And I like you guys way too much to do that. So here we go. And Robert, I'm going to ask you to read this piece. This is by Arcana Amore, and it's called Addicted to Murder.
Ready?
No. Usually Arcana has his own. So. Okay. This is Addicted to Murder by Arcana Amore. In marching herds of mundane reality, I stalk the stragglers that lag behind. They see my stares with peripheral fear, choosing to ignore their flickering fate. I'm just an ordinary, everyday psychopath, pre-programmed to kill on a slender whim. If you saw me around, you'd never imagine the depths of rage that I hold in my hand. I'm a smoldering inferno of blazing fury, just waiting for a spark to ignite my fuse. All it will take is a sideways glance to show you the sufferance inside my slaughter. Such bliss I feel, inflicting pain and torture, to hear your screams that plead for mercy in futile serenades to the absence of empathy, while I tear you apart into quivering members. So many pass by me, I'm spoiled for choice. In blood I bathe my empty conscience. I'm a wolf in disguise that herds the sheep. You can run and hide, but there's no escape. I'm addicted to murder. It makes me feel high. The gore, the mutilation, the last dying sigh. My eyes are as black as the darkest shadows, so watch out for my smile of irreverent disdain. I blend like a chameleon into the crowd. If only you knew who walks among you. That's part of the game that makes it such fun. You're just a heartbeat away from becoming my prey. End poem.
Excellent read there, Robert. Thank you very much. And Gray, why don't we kick it with you first?
Sorry, did you say me?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. No, that was a wonderful read and a haunting write. I mean, you know, the opening is just powerful. In marching herds of mundane reality, I stalk the stragglers that lag behind. They see my stares with peripheral fear, choosing to ignore their flickering fate. I mean, he's a wolf on the edge of a field of sheep, and they know he's there, but they're afraid to look. And I just thought it was a very excellent, excellent poem, well written. Outstanding, right? Great read.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Gray. Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a great piece. Arcana has such a way with the dark poetry. You know, among other things. I mean, he has some great sensual stuff as well. But this was really wonderful, and it was a little chilling, actually. There was a lot going on here, and I think, you know, the last three stanzas were really terrific. But I have to say, I did like the way he tied this one up. I blend like a chameleon into the crowd. If only you knew who walks among you. That's part of the game that makes it such fun. You're just a heartbeat away from becoming my prey. It kind of leaves you with that, like, let me look over my shoulder kind of feeling. And I thought it was just great. So wonderful job, Arcana, and great way for tonight.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jean. And Pam, what about you?
Well, first of all, great read there, Robert. I thought this was a wonderful dark write. You know, even when his poems don't rhyme because they have a certain meter to them, they just flow really nicely. This has wonderful alliteration. I really like how deep he delved into the mind of a psychopath. I too really liked that part about the wolf in disguise that herds the sheep, because it really shows the mind of somebody who like that, who looks down on other people and just sees them as objects rather than as people. I really liked I'm Just an Ordinary Everyday Psychopath Programmed to Kill on a Slender Whim. If you saw me around, you'd never imagine the depths of rage that holds my hand. Wonderful dark imagery and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Pam. And Robin, how about you? You got to read it. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought he captured the essence of psychopathy well. The mind of a psychopath is very complex and disturbing, and he captured all of that here. The hunt, the thrill of the hunt, and the kind of almost like narcissism that goes with it. Like everyone is beneath him, and all they are is prey, and that's it. And the field of slaughter is basically open to him freely. You know, he can pick whoever he wants, and that's what he enjoys about it. He's like, who do I choose today type of thing, you know? And he really captured that excellently in this. And you would, you know, by reading it, you would think that, wow, this is very, very disturbing. Like, who could write this? But then you're like, oh, this is poetry. So, you know, it kind of like – really convincing. He's really convincing in his approach, and I thought that he did phenomenal in his delivery of it. And yeah, it's a very creepy aspect. Like, you know, who you don't know who to trust, and that's the damnable misery of it.
Excellent, wonderful comment. And you're absolutely right. For me, this kind of brought to note the character Dexter, and then giving that full on. Emotional thought as to who and what he is and how he goes about his business. That sort of I'm just an ordinary everyday psychopath, as if to hit on the thought that there's plenty more of me out there. And yes, these are blending in, and that thought of being a smoldering inferno, a blazing fury, just waiting for a spark to ignite my fuse. All it will take is a sideways glance to show you the suffering inside my slaughter. Then he offers up what he gets, his enjoyment, the bliss of inflicting pain and torture. He enjoys the screams, the pleading for mercy. That all feeds that that inner turmoil and the high he gets off. He even gets down to, I'm addicted to murder. It makes me feel high. The gore, the mutilation, the last dying sigh. To sit there and bleed out the body, so to speak, and watch that last flicker, ember, creep away from dying eyes is a nice touch. This is really wonderfully done there, Arcana. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, right back on you.
Okay. Now, well, next magic trick. This one. Excuse me. Okay, this next one I'm going to put up, I'm going to give a read. This one does not follow that song, but we are going to put it up by Blue Leader One, and it's called Sweet Lovely Death. This is to The Last Caress by the Misfits. So here we go. Sweet Lovely Death. 1, 2, 3, go. I got someone to say, how come you idiots keep forgetting about the Misfits on Halloween? Dank Farrick. What does a band have to do to be remembered on Halloween? Dismember your member, rape your mother, kill your baby, snort some spice. I mean, what? What? You know how you make me feel, like kissing death. Sweet, lovely death, I am waiting for your breath. Come, sweet death, one last caress. Sweet death, one last caress. Oh, 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 yeah. Really feel up death. That's how Misfits, Beatitudes, Misfits. And boom.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Pam, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Well, first of all, I really thought this was a great tribute to the song and the band. I do like the phrase Dank Farrick. I don't know if that's a name or a phrase or what, but it sounds cool. Let's see, what else? You know, it had a nice melodic feel to it, and the whole idea of personifying death as a lover that, you know, perhaps, you know, like stands outside. Like remember that 1980s movie where the guy stood outside his girlfriend's window or the girl's window holding the giant jukebox, not jukebox, but the giant beatbox and on his shoulder, yeah, and sung? Like, I can imagine death standing outside somebody's window with a 1980s beatbox and singing a love song. But besides that side note there, no, it really is a great look at the idea of how much he really enjoys and appreciates this band and how much the darkness they express means to him. So very well done.
Excellent, Pam. Thank you. And Dank Farrakh is a curse that's being used on The Mandalorian. It means it's an anger or frustration, or it can actually mean dank fat, so to speak. So the idea is to cross that way. It's a way to curse on TV. I'd get even away with it.
there you go.
How about you, Rob? What do you think?
Yeah, when I first heard this song back in the days, I was really young, so it really caught me by surprise. I was like, what? How can they get away with saying that? That's cool. Then it made it even, you know, more popular to me. So when this, you know, they're basically displaying their like for the band and doing something that matches the energy of the song itself, and getting kind of brutal and kind of like gloomy and yet I don't know, it still had like somewhat of a punky type feel to it. Just looking at the lyrics and reading them out loud, kind of had that presence there. And like, yeah, like Pam said, it's kind of like somewhat of an ode to death, but or death ode to you, whatever. But yeah, I thought it had great energy, and it kind of it was a great tribute to the song, as Pam said. So yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Robert. And Jean, how about you? Did you
really? I thought it was nicely penned. Clever and well done. And I put in here, stand up for your music. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jean. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, it captures the essence of their energy quite beautifully. You know, in your face, punk rock. And I like that.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. They were part of the punk rock scene, but they were the progenitors of what they called horror punk, which hits on those notes of the darkness that rolls in it. But I like the idea. He hits on that note with the Dank Farrakh from The Mandalorian, but also drops in a snort some spice, an allusion to Dune. So he's got some other references that work within this as well to kind of make it stand out. And that idea, what does a band have to do to be remembered on Halloween? And then that sort of dismember your member, raise your mother, kill your baby, snort some spice. I mean, what do we got to do to actually be part of the Halloween angle? So I thought that was a nice touch as well. Thank you very much, Blue. That was pretty cool. All right, Jean, where would you like to go next?
Okie doke. Well, Gray, I'm coming to you with this one, and this is by Pee Wee Cruzan, and it's called Notes from a Diary. So whenever you're ready. Oh, Gray.
Yes, you bet. Okay. Notes from a Diary by Pee Wee Cruzan. Your wretched life, you fight to save, hand on the shovel that digs your grave. Born into death, before you were born, notes from the diary of the maniac so torn. Using bodies to fill a moat, hand clenching around the throat, bleeding out from your kidneys, genetically bred out at the knees. There you still stand, with a nail through your hand. Time is right. Mood is full. Use that rock to crush his skull. Take this old knife. of mine, twist it right into her spine, quadriplegic dreams, sewn up at the seams. This wretched life cannot be saved. We're all born to find the grave. Innocence lost, morals then tossed. You maintain sanity by murdering humanity. End poem.
Great read there, Grace. Thank you very much. And Pee-wee kind of took a little note from all the songs off it, so there's a little touch of everything that sits within this piece itself. So thank you, Pee-wee. And Robert, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, I thought this was artistically brutal in a lot of aspects. Using bodies to fill a moat, hand clenching around the throat, bleeding out from your kidneys, genetically bred out at the knees. Like almost every stanza was, it had its own like measure of brutality. And then the ending, of course, is innocence lost, morals then tossed. You maintain sanity by murdering humanity. And that's like the crux of it, is that a lot of times psychopaths, like I'm thinking of a psychopath in this regard because, I mean, it makes sense to me. But a psychopath would finds that, like, a lot of times they have to, like, kill or do something. Like, something needs to be done to sate their insanity. And so a lot of times, I guess, it has to be either murder or harm or, you know, something that degrades the life of another. And that's part of the reason they're so dangerous and things like that. So this really kind of touches on the ending stanza, especially touches on the brutality and what they need to survive before they go even crazier, I guess. I don't know. This is very brutal. I liked it.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Robert. Gene, how about you?
I knew I was going to be next. And I beat you because I got to put in my last exclamation point before you said my name. I said, wow, there was, you know, a rough write. Really a rough write. And it was well done. I thought it was a great reflection of the prompts provided. It just pulled it all in together and you know, really was strong. And a little disturbing. Not really, but, you know. Not just saying, you know, what Robert said. I figured I would make it a trait. So good job. Thanks, Pee-wee.
Excellent. Thank you. And Gray, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, you know, it was a pleasure to read. It had a wonderful rhyme, rhythm, and flow to it. And outstanding imagery as well. Using bodies to fill a moat, hand clenching around the throat, bleeding out from kidneys, genetically bred out at the knees. And then in juxtaposition to that, he says, there you still stand with a nail through your hand. Time is right. Moon is full. Use that rock to crush his skull. Yeah, just incredible imagery in here. And the intent is very strong as well. With the ending, innocence lost, morals then tossed. You maintain sanity by murdering humanity. You know, to me, this speaks of life as we live it now, quite honestly. Beautiful, right? Actually.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. Pam, did I already get you?
You did not. I was left behind. But
you were not.
I'll go ahead and comment. Yeah, this has excellent rhyme to it. Really strong, visceral imagery. I did like that part with the using bodies to fill a moat. I also really liked there you still stand with a nail through your hand. Time is right. Moon is full. Use that rock to crush his skull. This actually reminds me of another poem of Pee-wee's, like not the exact same poem, but I remember he wrote a poem for one of Robert's shows, and we were discussing whether or not the person was talking to somebody else or they were like talking to themselves. And I feel that kind of same way about this poem, where it could be like the voices in his head talking to him, or like it kind of makes me think of an episode of Criminal Minds where this guy got this father and daughter and had the father fight other men in order that his daughter would live. But definitely great psychological darkness, that idea of the somebody whose mind is called to a path of destruction, and excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam, and great comments, everybody. Notes from a diary. I like that word. It gives me the idea of a diary of a madman. It's kind of an explanation of self, so to speak. He's talking of the victims, maybe not to them. You're wretched. He's talking of them. Your wretched life. You fight to save. Hand on the shovel that digs your grave. A nice intonation of, hey, you know what? I'm not doing the work. You are. And then the sort of born into death before you were born. Notes from the diary of the maniac so torn. The idea he knows his essence and who he is, and these little notes are kind of an explanation as to who and what he is and how he goes about his business. The idea of take this old man from mine, twist it right into his spine, quadriplegic genes, dreams sewn up at the seams. That's cruel and brutal in the moment because he already knows that. He's not going to let her live past those ideals yet. Offers up that note of, yeah, maybe you'll get to live, but you're going to be wheelchair bound. And then, again, the back end, as Robert said, innocence lost, morals been tossed. You maintain sanity by murdering humanity. The note to self in that, as well as a kind of call out of humanity as a whole. So nicely done, Pee-wee. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you.
I just want to say that I hope him and Arcana don't meet at a bar someday, because it could be a really rough night. Anyway, just saying, you know. Yeah, make me a little nervous. I wouldn't want to be on that street. Anyway, the next one I'm going to pick up has a song to go with it as well, so let me play this one.
Oh,
Oh. I was going to say, I was waiting for a couple of minutes. Awesome. Okay,
I'll grumble at the moon.
Okay. Now, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this next one. So, if you don't mind. This one's by Alchemist.
Well, it just seems to me if I had to go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, for Betty Page, that you should be somebody's sweet loving under the moon.
Okay, well, would you
just
rather?
Saying.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'll read that, and you can read Julie Buck. That's fine by me. I'm easy either way.
Okay. Go for it.
Sure. Love by the moon. He comes to get me, throws stones at my window at night, knows what I want to be, his one and only delight. I waited endless days to have him, turn my back on everyone else, pray to the moon, go to the river, give the thing he's waited for, feel every shiver, want to give him so much more. Forbidden fruit so sumptuous, devour each and every bite. Under the moon, yeah, lit by the moon, leaves me at my doorstep and walks away just like before. Tears burn the silence, metamorphosis of my only cure. Fangs start to sharpen. East comes out in me, ancient ones I hearken, find him in the dark alley, pounce right upon him, resist the urge to tear his flesh, single bite to ensure our beastly natures will enmesh. He'll find out real soon, he now belongs to the moon. End poem.
Oh, great read, Gene. Thank you very much. Pam, since you mumbled on the read, why don't you start us off?
I knew that was going to happen. Well, first of all, great read there, Gene. You know, I really enjoyed this one. It was a great rhyming poem. It was a great story poem. I like how she took the idea of the song and made it all her own with a wonderful dark sensuality. And what I really like is how it has that nice twist at the end. Of realizing that the only way you two are going to be compatible is if you bite him to make sure that you're, I really like those lines, resist the urge, tear his flesh, single bite to ensure our beastly natures will enmesh. He'll find out real soon, he now belongs to the moon. Excellent lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you did a great read on it, Bill, but I like the poem. You know, it was dark. It was a great twist on the prompt. And, you know, I thought it had a haunting appeal to it, you know, with the turning of a human being into a werewolf under the moon. So it was just a, and then from the female perspective. So that was wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you, Greg. And Robert, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. This piece really, really intrigued me. And mainly because a lot of times they, in these type of poems, the women seem to be the hunted. And in turn, she was the powerful force here. And she took what she wanted and, you know, ran with it. I thought it was a great take on the prompt. You know, and especially for nowadays, for the whole Halloween, it really fit in very well. And but mainly, like how everyone said, the ending was phenomenal. In his delivery, like he'll find out real soon, he now belongs to the moon. You know, so the guy didn't have a choice in the matter. But hey, you know, that's the bestial dominance there. So I enjoyed it a lot.
Excellent. Thank you, Robert. And Gene, you got to read it.
Yes, I did. Thanks, Pam. I thought this was an excellent piece. I thought it was well penned and a great take on the prompt. I really enjoyed it, and I loved the last stanza. And the last two lines, of course, tied it up nice with a bow, but that last stanza was great. So thank you very much, Alchemist.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. Yeah, I enjoyed this. The thought of love by the moon And the picture itself offers up something sensual and long-lasting, but it doesn't work that way. And the offering, he comes to get me, throw stones at my window, knows that I want to be his one and only delight. I waited endless days to have him, turn my back on everyone else, then pray to the moon. And then the giving up. And again, under the moon, yeah, lit by the moon. But then again, it's just a booty call, so to speak, and that kind of sharpens the tang in everything that she's given up for this night, which she was looking forward to. Then the opening with the fangs start to sharpen, the beast comes out, then to hunt him down. Instead of ripping him to shreds, she now confines him to a life like her own, and that thought of the wolf and how they mate for life is the end result of what she was looking for to begin with. He'll find out real soon. He now belongs to the moon and me being the author. If I miss my guess, this I'd have to relook up the words, but I think this works as a parody itself. So thank you very much, Alchemist.
Okay.
All right, Jean, where is it on you?
Well, the next one I'm going to put up is has music to go with it also. This one has a couple pieces that go with the music. So I'll open up this piece, and we'll take you from there. This is Crossroads by Cream.
Crossroads, fell out of a dream.
cross up, believe I'm sinking down.
Okay. Well, that will bring me to Naomi Sarah's piece. And let me play that one for everybody. And here we go.
At the crossing of our roads, at the crossroads, sometimes dreams fly away. Sometimes the hands that form the walls wave at each other in silence. Knowing the last train is not the vacation train, you will leave on your road. I will leave on mine. Each one for himself towards another destiny. Each one for himself towards the sorrow. You will leave on your road. I will go down mine. At the crossroads, it is not the stormy sky, but it is the daily gray, the color of our journey. We are afraid of our last gestures, afraid to waste this morning, the little time we have left. At the crossroads, before you leave on your road, and I leave on mine. Each for himself, towards another destiny. Each one for himself, towards the sorrow. You walking down your road, will I turn away to walk down mine.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Robert, why don't we start with you, please?
Sorry, I had a bug in my ear. Let me see. I hold on. Let me turn off my fan. Sorry. I often like poems that have separate paths. You know, like that poem by Robert Frost about the road less traveled is one. You know, and this is far deeper than that, obviously, because. You know, the separation, it could be death or it could just be, separation. But whatever it may be, it is always painful, well, almost always painful, and sometimes it's necessary. But in this regard, it seemed as though there was a lot of pain. And it was hard to do, but like I said, necessary. And the color of our journey, I'm sorry. It says, you will leave on your road. I will go down mine at the crossroads. It is not the stormy sky, but it is the daily gray, the color of our journey, you know? So I thought she captured well the kind of, how do you say, not foreboding, but like not ominous, but there's like just this really kind of dark tank feel, like a sadness, and she portrayed that well, I thought. She always has beautiful poetry, so this is no different.
Excellent. I like that. Thank you, Robert. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful write. I really like that she went with a kind of sad darkness. This has a real haunting feel to it. I really like and appreciate when somebody, you can see how they were inspired by the prompt, and yet they took it in a way all their own. To me, I see this as the separation of a relationship, and I like that it can either be a romantic relationship or it could just even be a friendship. And that whole idea of how we all have to follow our own path, and that no matter who or what that means, that it pulls us away from. And so just a beautiful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, I like it. You know, she did a wonderful SoundCloud on the poem, but the poem has powerful emotions. You know, it's steeped in emotion throughout the write, especially at the opening. Sometimes dreams fly away. Sometimes the hands that form the waltz wave at each other in silence. knowing the last train is not the vacation train. You will leave on your road, and I will leave on mine. You know, when it comes to the crossroads in life where we separate from somebody that we love, that's going to be one of the darkest and dreariest times of our lives. But yet we must go on down our own path. So wonderful expression of separation at the crossroads.
Excellent. Great. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you? But no mute taken.
You're damn well calling again. Yeah. I thought you did a fabulous job in this piece. And it was a great take on that chosen prompt, and I really enjoyed it. So excellent work, Naomi, and thanks for sharing with us. Someday I'm going to
thank you. I think you all hit the right notes with this. Just the thought of what goes, there is a haunting sadness within this. Just the notes, knowing the last train is not the vacation train. It's not the stormy sky, but it's the daily gray, the color of our journey. We are afraid of our last gestures, afraid to waste this morning, the little time we have left at the crossroads. There is a noted tone for the crossroads, because this can walk a number of thoughts. Everybody said on that, even death can walk within this, because it does hit a noted tone of that final goodbye, so to speak. And then that turn away to walk your own path. Hits on that note of everything that everybody else has expressed. So great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. Nicely done, Sarah. Naomi, sorry. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay. Well, Pam, the next one I have for you, and it's by Julie Buck, and this is also to Crossroads.
All right. When the Road Lends Me a Hand Too Late by Julie Buck. When I sometimes lose my way, when the line no longer straight, I mostly disappear and wait on some other hungry side and shine my light in other places. When I choose a day, just any day, when the plight feels more like fate, I mostly reappear and hate to stay with mixed divide. Why did I show my other faces? When I sometimes refuse to stay, when the road lends me a hand too late, I mostly fight the steer to humbly ride the ride and pray that mercy knows my chases never have been empty. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Gray, why don't we start with you, please? Gray, you there?
Yes, I am. I apologize. But no, fantastic read, Pam. And I like the poem. You know, it speaks to all the different crossroads in life that we face. And especially that's captured when I sometimes refuse to stay, when the road lends me a hand too late. I mostly fight to steer, to humbly ride the ride, and pray that mercy knows my chases never have been empty. You know, like we're always searching for something. And so we take lefts and rights at all these crossroads. And so, you know, I thought it was a beautiful capturing of the prompt.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. And Jean, how about you?
I got to pass on this one. I'll leave her a good written comment. Thank you.
Okay, okay. Robert, how about you? What do you think?
Well, I like the opening stanza a lot, because when I sometimes lose my way, when the line no longer straight, I mostly disappear and wait on some other hungry side and shine my light in other places. Like, so a lot of times when we make the wrong choices, sometimes they can even be embarrassing choices or choices that we regret. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have to fall back and recollect ourselves and be like, okay, well, that wasn't what I was supposed to do. You know, let me try going this way, you know. And I don't know if that's how it is, but that's how I interpreted it. And I do like the way that she worded it, and especially the ending, when I sometimes refuse to say, to stay, when the road lends me a hand too late, I mostly fight to steer, to humbly ride the ride and pray the mercy knows my chases never have been empty. So even though they put a lot of thought behind what they're doing and they have their intent, they still make mistakes, you know, and so does everybody. So I think this is a very relatable piece in that regard, if I'm interpreting it correctly. And I'm glad that you shared it, because I like relatable pieces.
Excellent. Thank you, Robert. I think you hit the right notes. Yes. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a great write. I liked how there was kind of a subtle darkness to it that was very emotive. And I have to agree, it is relatable. And I liked it all the way through. But the parts I really related to that really spoke to me was the second stanza where it says, and hate to say with mixed divide, why did I show my other faces? Because that makes me think of, you know, those times when you lose your temper or show the ugly side of yourself, and, you know, you can't take it back once it's out. Another part I really liked and related to was, I mostly fight to steer, to humbly ride the ride, because a lot of times I think what gets us in trouble is trying to control every situation. And so I thought this was really an intelligent and thoughtful write and very well done.
Great comments, everybody. And you're right, this, because she starts everything when I, so it's all about herself in the moment. Sometimes lose my way because the path is no longer that thought of where it was going, but I thought I mostly disappear. That does hit on note of fear and embarrassment, as Robert hit upon. And then the second one, when the flight feels more like fate, I mostly reappear. And why did I show my other face? Pam, you hit on that meaning well. And then the thought of when I refuse to stay, when the road lends me a hand too late. There is that note of being on the right path, but there's kind of a note of regret in there, because I mostly fight to steer, to humbly ride the ride, and pray that mercy knows my chases never have been empty. There is a note of always having something in mind, even when it doesn't work properly or you falter in the moment. There is the idea of, I tried my best in the moment, even though I failed. And that thought of having a mercy, the idea of may the three fates hold me true at the end. So nicely done, Julie. Thank you. We're coming back to you, Jean.
Oh, there's that damn Eugene. Okay, listen, I've got a little creative Rex, I hope you don't mind. I told you Robert said that this pre-write that he had reminded,
yes.
Well, he said it leaned into Children of the Grave. So I went and I loaded up Children of the Grave. So I'm going to play that.
Okay.
And then we're going to listen to Robert. So here we go.
Excellent.
I don't know if I can touch that.
We'll be right back.
Well. And I got to say, I had a nice surprise because Gray wrote to this one too. So that's awesome. Good job, fellas. Okay, you're making my life easier. Everyone's so quiet. I'm not. Okay,
yeah, that was a great tune.
I'm going to put Robert's piece up, and then Gray, I'm coming to you next. So here we go.
All right.
I'm going to put this. So here we go.
This is my recital of Spoils of Tyranny, a poem inspired by events overseas. Look deeply into these eyes of mine. Have you noticed they lost their shine? Look at my body, torn and broken. Cries for mother were the last words spoken. Take this time to see what you have done and explain to the father why he lost his son. Tell him, lie to him while he is distraught and try to condone the havoc you've wrought. My lifeless body, a product of war. Tell me again what you are fighting for. Is it for wealth? Is it for peace? Is it for God or financial increase? Is it for hatred? Is it for love? Or to secure your place in the skies above? Well, I did not get that chance, so look at me with attentive glance. Reach deep within your twisted soul and tell me of death's justly toll. Cry to me when you find your guilt and disgrace my father and the house he built. Your promise is empty, your words have no merit. Guilt is too good for you, but still you must bear it. For the spirits will echo throughout this land, innocent hymns united by hand. The terror that you have brought on us all will haunt you till the day you fall. All the horror that you have instilled will return tenfold the innocence spilled. So let that sink into your head. Remember the wailing of the dead. Take it deeply into your heart. Realize that humanity is falling apart. For I have died, and it may be in vain, but the least you can do is feel my pain. Know that you tyrants must change your ways, for we are approaching the end of days. But before I leave you, here is a thought. Gather what little humanity you've got. Look once more upon the innocence defiled, and imagine that I were your very own child.
Great read, Robert. Thank you for the sound clap. It is very much appreciated. And Pam, we're going to kick with you first, please.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Robert. You know, it's not, I shouldn't say it's not often, but there are times when a pre-write is put into a contest that fits so perfectly with the prompt they chose to match it up with. And I think, Robert, that this is one of those times. It's a powerful message. I know it was written 8 years ago, but it's a message that unfortunately, sadly, still stands true today. I like that you wrote this in the voice of a child who had died and all the questions asked. Is it for wealth? Is it for peace? Is it for God or financial increase? Is it for hatred? Is it for love or to secure your place in the skies up above? And the thing is, the answer to the questions really don't matter because there's just no good reason for the death of a child. And this like just really pulls at the heartstrings. It really has a strong emotional impact, as always, great rhyme and flow. And I like the way you capitalize the word own at the end and imagine that I were your very own child. And that to me is such a sad ending that anybody would have to imagine it being their own child in order to care, you know, and so just a powerful dark write and very well done.
Thank you, Ben.
Nicely said, Ben. Thank you. And Gray, how about you?
Sorry, I know you, I thought you captured the essence of war and the victims therein, you know, like especially this is the ghost of a child speaking here. And I thought you did that brilliantly with your write. deeply insightful, emotive, visceral, and engaging. So a powerful poem throughout. Beautiful job, Robert.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you, Gray. And Gene, how about you? You got a comment live, please.
But I was doing well without you. you know, Robert, this was just a fabulous piece. You have such a strong pen, you know, a powerful pen. And this was a wonderful piece to put against that song, definitely. I think that, you know, you have so many stanzas here that I really did like. But that last one, you know, really, you know, hits it out of the park. Incredible, incredible job there. So thanks for sharing tonight, for sure.
Thank you, Gene.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Robert. That opening stanza was quite powerful because it gave me pause to something which I remembered from God. It's going back 18 years now. Take this time to see what you have done and explain to the Father why he lost his son. Tell him, lie to him while he is distraught and try to condone the havoc you wrought. Reminds me of what they did with Pat Tillman and how they wound up so many lies and stories trying to cover up the truth of what happened that it shamed the entirety of everything, especially around his death, because he was a highly regarded and well-paid player on the Arizona Cardinals who gave up all that money to go be a special forces guy and go overseas to fight for truth, honor, integrity, and the country. Didn't kind of meet that way, but I don't know if that was intentional or maybe in your mind, but it rings truth on that note because so much gets lost in the fall of the war and the lies that come out of it that a lot of these people do have to pay for it because it's not their sons, their own child, their sons or their daughters going to war. It's everybody else's, which kind of begs the note of what are we doing it for? Which you've got all those questions, which meet appraisal and have to be answered, but never do get answered. So it's a great piece.
Thanks, Rex.
Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. All right, Gene. We're coming to you.
You know, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. I swear. Okay. I'm going to get Gray's piece now. I was like commenting on Robert's twice, and I don't know what he got out of it. But Robert, whatever you find, just know I tried. Weird. Okay, Gray, whenever you are ready, I have your piece and waiting for you.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, mine is written to the Children of the Grave prompt as well. Returning love. Under a night sky dark, ghosts of children fill the park. Their souls were torn asunder, under the spell the world was under. See, darkness filled their days. They were born inside a haze. On poisoned fields, cattle graze, as the world around them was ablaze. So they heard the call, rising up against it all. Through the dark, they would ignite the spark. Using love's flame, overtook the game, returning love. Its righteous name, the moral would not be the same. End poem.
Great read there, Gray. Thank you very much. And Robert, wanted to start with you, please.
Yeah, that was a great read there, Gray. You did like impeccable writing throughout this. It was four stanzas, but it told like a hell of a story. Says, you know, ghost of children fill the park, like just that, you know, like you think about it, like ghost of children fill the park, you know, their souls were torn asunder under the spell the world was under. So, you know, it kind of hits on that same thing that it's like all of this is terrible, terrible tragedy. Why, you know, all for what? It's not for anything. Like these are children, you know, what the hell do they have to do with it? I don't know. Sorry. Anyways. So they heard the call rising up against it all through the dark. They would ignite the spark using love's flame, overtook the game, returning love's its righteous name. Tomorrow would not be the same. It's like the whole revolution, you know, like coming back, you know, like the tides are turning, karma's coming, and I can get behind that. And I really enjoyed the read it and the pen.
Great comment. Thank you, Robert.
Excellent. Thank you, Robert. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, that was a wonderful read there, Gray. And I have to say, I'm glad you were inspired. You know, I had said in my comment this kind of had a Children of the Corn vibe, though I will admit that was only because of the imagery in that second stanza. Really, all of a sudden I could picture those, like, blonde-haired, blue-eyed children coming out of the corn. But what I really liked about this, it was an extremely deep, dark write that not only took a look at how war kills the innocent, but looks at the way how not just war, but the way we poison our food supply with fertilizers and, you know, and all that. I'm pretty sure that wasn't your intent, but that was some of the thoughts that came to my mind with the whole idea that if we don't care about the earth, if we don't care about how our food supply gets treated, the children, the innocent, are going to suffer at the hands of an uncaring world. So excellent write and very well done.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Pam.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
Well, Gray, I think that this was an excellent piece. Great express write. Nicely done. Oh, my God, I'm not on mute. And I really appreciated the piece itself. Well done, and nice job.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Jean.
You're welcome.
Gray, I think that second line, Ghosts of Children, Fill the Park, as Robert said, it is the emotional spark, the one that that makes the piece itself, because it is all about the children, whether it's war-torn or other venues where they get ripped from the hearts of their parents, so to speak. It's those children that will somewhere down the line make that moment heard where something has to be done because too many die for one reason or another. There has to be that notation where instead of being asleep, parents have to stand strong to the note that enough is enough. The children are ours. They're not to be spoiled. They're not to be used. They're not to be abused and killed for whatever the reason. So the idea of coming back to a mainstream where they are the most important thing moving forward and they're to be protected under all circumstances. I think that's the gist of what you're offering up, the need for those kids to have a life that is meaningful beyond what atrocities they might endure or have come born upon them.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're welcome, Gray. And Jean, we're back on you.
Okie doke. Well, Rex, I'm coming back to you. Unless I'm not on you.
Okay.
Very good, Jean. Very good.
Wow.
I'm going to have you read this piece by Roger Santorin. Here we go.
All right. While I played her from Alice Cooper by Roger Santorin. He begged, please, please, please stay, baby. You don't have to go. I must, she says. I'm leaving you for him. Didn't you know? She grabs her things and begins to leave. Said he, I wore my heart on my sleeve. Says she, and so was mine, but you abused it. The love's gone. Can't take no more of your shit. He desperately cried, you promised. Your heart belongs to just me. I can't live without you while you hell-bent on hurting me. She slams the door and walks into another man's arms. In pain, he screams, why did I fall for your effing charms? Then hurtfully watches his nemesis place her things into their car. He races downstairs, crying in tears, in his hand an empty jar. As they sat there kissing and hugging, he looks at them, but she just starts laughing. He knocked on the glass, asking to wish them both goodbye. The windows rolled down, then he says, "Now it's time to die." Before they knew it, he jumped into the back seat, the both of them turning white as a ghost sheet. Then while being held at gunpoint, he fires up a massive joint, then says, "Okay, lovebirds, now to prove my point, your sins will soon be forgiven. It's time to anoint. Hey, you punk-ass homewrecker, take a hit or I'll eat your damn liver. Now be careful with that axe, Eugene, or I'll have to tax your ass so mean. But first, play this song for that bitch doing me wrong. Love sure as hell turned to hate. Now it must feed. So just relax while I sing. Only women bleed." And after they finish smoking some really good weed, he says, "Alan sure got that right. Only women bleed. Did you hear him, you damn witch? Just only women bleed, you dumb bitch. Well then, guess what, you bad seed? It's time for your dumb ass to bleed." And as they got stoned inside a Mini Cooper, he blasts his CD while singing from Alice Cooper, said goodbye, and a short while later, slowly exits the car, goes back inside, placing on the counter his trophy jar. He left it there openly in plain sight for everyone to see. The police arrive and are told she said her heart belonged to just me. So I cut it out, and now it's a lost love trophy. "You're under arrest," trying to explain that to the jury. "This guy's crazy," the cop said. "No, I'm not. She's the real party pooper. So his punk ass got strangled while I played her some Alice Cooper." End poem. Pam, why don't you kick it off?
Okie dokie. Well, first of all, awesome read there, Rex. I really liked this one. It was a great combination of darkness and twisted humor. I like that he was inspired by an Alice Cooper song. And I did like the little nod in the middle at the song, Put Down the Axe, Eugene. I thought that was really cool. To me, this is that whole idea of people who play the blame game. I like the mention, I really liked where she said, and as they got stoned inside a Mini Cooper, he blasts his CD while singing some Alice Cooper, said goodbye, and a short while later slowly exits the car. That great build up there of intensity. Just a really cool dark ride, as I said, that whole idea of a blame game where there's like love, loss, insanity, and revenge. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant poem. It really speaks to the madness that enters some people's minds when relationships come to an end and they are given over for somebody else to stand in their place, and how that can create madness and insanity in somebody's head. She said his heart, her heart was his, and he made it that way, keeping it in a jar as a trophy for his love lost. Haunting poem.
Excellent. Thank you, Greg. And Robert, how about you?
Yeah, this had the whole kit and caboodle of darkness and insanity. It's strange because it's hard to say that it's relatable, but it is, because that's one of our most base things is rage, and rage has many types of fuel, but love and a lack thereof or a loss of such really can kindle that rage and turn us into something that we are not or we didn't intend to be. The whole dedication of you're just mine, and then got off with some dude just blatantly right in front of him, and it's like just causing the snap. you know, and that could be anybody. It could happen to anybody. The nicest person you know, it could happen to them. It's just, it's weird how it's ingrained in our system. And this type of poem really gets you thinking about that. Like, what could make someone want to do that? And I mean, it's our humanity, you know, just humanity is so diverse and versatile that it can go from love to rage in the blink of an eye. So, yeah, I thought he captured that well. And there was a whole lot of interesting humor and darkness in there as well, with the whole playing around aspect of the lives and the heart. Wow. Well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Robert. Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, Robert, there is a fine line between love and hate. Mm-hmm. And yes, people jump over it randomly. I thought this was a great piece by Roger. And I feel bad because if I had known he was using Prompt 2, I would have played Prompt 2 first. But I saw Alice Cooper all over the place and couldn't find the prompt. I was like, well, I thought it was nice work and a great take on the song prompt that he originally had up. So nice work, and thank you very much, Roger.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, thank you. You all hit on the notes in this. It is the dark macabre humor, and it is F-plus reality and things that do kind of putting up this mother go bump in the night, so to speak, the loss of sanity in the moment, and really the dark angle of actually, hey, Eva thought enough to bring a jar down along with the knife so he'd cut the heart out and display it on the counter going back up to his apartment. So this walks a whole lot of, as you noted, the thought of, you be careful with Eugene, the thought to only when they bleed from Alice Cooper. So I enjoyed this piece, even if it is a little, I'll eat your damn liver. Damn. It's a hell of a note too, a comedic touch. Nicely done, Roger. Thank you for the piece. We enjoyed it. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Alrighty, so here we go. I'm going to play the last song I have for tonight, and then we're going to listen to Pam, and we have one final.
Thank you.
Pam, you stay the hell away from my Eugene. Don't be putting ideas in his head. That's what I'm going to say. Holy crap.
I didn't know you had a Eugene. Oh, yes, that's right. You do. Yes.
Yes, I do. Yes, I don't know. I read this poem, like, she scares me. She scares me. Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready, your piece is on the board. Holy mackerel.
All right. The reason that Eugene wouldn't put down the axe, and it goes like this. Eugene was such a pretty boy, his mumsy's one true love, a precious little child, a gift from up above, golden curls and bright blue eyes, an angelic-looking face, a voice that rang like heaven's bells, a smile that spoke of grace. His mother always coddled him since the day he was born, her only beloved child that she had to carry to full term. His father had died a war hero, or so his mumsy would say, a gallant man, great indeed, a soldier strong and brave. But the truth has a horrid way of leaving its own tracks upon the soul of innocence that's never coming back. Never coming back from darkness, from the ringing bells that are an echo of an inner torment that Eugene hid so well. He always obeyed every rule and smiled, oh, so coy, that none could see the demon that lurked inside the boy. His mother had remarried a bastard of a man who bruised and bloodied everyone he caught with meaty hands. The human stain, he perished in a bloody hunting accident. After him, the other men, they quickly came and went. A chain of violent goons who warmed his mumsy's bed. Eugene always at the peephole, always wishing each one dead. He was a boy that loved his mother and despised the vile slime, dreaming that they would pay for the lust that was their crime. There was an old and sturdy axe on the wall of Daddy's shed. It sang a hypnotic harmony that clawed at Eugene's head. Murder, mayhem, and redemption was the name of the tune. Kill them all, make them bleed, make them beg and swoon. Make them bleat like dying sheep, bring them to the final night. Show them that there is no mercy, show them there's no light. So the angry boy took the axe, walking slowly down the hall, tapping murder in Morse code upon the peeling paisley wall. Eugene swung the heavy blade, slashed the loser through the core, then chopped up mother in bloody bits, cause dear mumsy was a whore. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Gene, you were talking about Arcana and Pee-wee getting together in some bar somewhere. I think you just met the Holy Trinity, or the Unholy Trinity.
Yeah, the Unholy Trinity, for sure. Yeah, I'm telling you. I think you're right, Rex. I think you're right. We saved her for last. We split them up. I think we did a nice job with that, keeping them at the distance.
And, Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
I think Pam needs to record a SoundCloud for that one, because that one's epic. I mean, you know, her telling was just fantastic, and the poem was so engaging and haunting throughout. You know, you can picture him peeping at his mother with these men, and how much that tore him apart and, you know, drove him insane, you know, so the axe called to him and played the tune in his brain of murder, mayhem, and redemption. I thought it was just a fantastic poem, Pam.
Thank you.
That'd be great. Robin, how about you?
Well, you know, it's a good thing that I didn't post my poem, because then we'd just be an unholy square. So there was one that I had that's pretty bad that I don't usually share, but yeah, of course, you know, Pam had to write this, because who else would be able to do it, pull it off like that? But yeah, this kind of reminded me of like a long lost cousin to Norman Bates, you know, Eugene Bates, maybe, who knows? But yeah, he had the same problem, just watching his mama do all these things that he did not like, and he just wanted mama for himself, and eventually, I guess he had her. But yeah, it was it was devastatingly brutal. Obviously, but why wouldn't it be? You know, a chain of violent goons who warmed his mumsy's bed. Eugene always at the peephole, always wishing he was dead. You know, like you're just sitting there silently watching, and then it's all building up, but then one day the axe comes down, and there ain't no mercy. So, yeah, you did a great job in reading it, and a great job in writing it, and capturing the visceral insanity therein. Thanks, Pam, for sharing.
Thank you, Robert.
Great analogy with Norman Bates there, Robert. Thank you very much. Jean, what about you?
Wow, you know, when you began, holy mackerel, Pam, what a wicked tale you told here. It was excellent work and an amazing job. Just great rhymes and just, I don't know, pretty incredible piece. And, you know, if you want, I can hook you up with an MP3 of it and you can figure out where to put it on a SoundCloud. I can work with you. See?
Oh, there you go.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, that song is a pure instrumental, and Gene cut it before. There's a portion in there where there's whispering, be careful with that axe, Eugene. And then you get a hellacious scream across the song itself. So it figures Pam would take this, considering she's Wisconsin and axes are quite handy. And it does give a nice tonal background to the song itself. Hey, this is why Eugene should have been careful with the axe, but he was. He was deliberately careful and buried it in many heads. And I like the thought of using Mumsy, still holding that little touch of a little boy in the back of his mind, Mumsy's one true love and Mumsy's whoring and all of that. And hey, Daddy's axe is still handy. I'll use that. Even though I never met the man, I shall make them bleed in his honor.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for the inspiration.
Yeah,
well, I haven't heard
wonderful.
That song in years, but I always enjoyed it. It's creepy.
I'm starting to think we may have to tune down
Stop
some
that.
Of the inspiration.
Now, Rex, we have one more piece on the board.
Yes, we do.
I think, what do you think?
Yes.
It's not a real long piece. Okay. Robert, I'm going to ask you to read this one because I just think that it would be good. Here we go. This is called As We Tread for Swinging Ghouls by Jim Bellamy.
Okay. As we tread for swinging ghouls, a devil under us, bangs and scarred hands where a puller's night crush carries a sister's tricky treater of top carry cut, snakers of bobbing apple corpses. This scarecrow road has popped in as stormers walks a midnight row and crowded devil donors share deadened lips with the bleeding lucifuge. A wince of fallen gallows tree hangs, old hosts, a witch of Fallon's mallows, a sea hag's ropes. And we dig for turnip scissor wine when bodies bag mess up in wasted teasing house of voices. All hollows weave strides, the scarecrow road, all killers weed strangle, a bruised insect lobe, and toads go down. Aside a scratchman's horse robe. Oh, end poem.
Great read, Robert. Thank you very much. And Pam, we're going to kick it with you first.
All right. Well, you know, I always enjoy and appreciate Jim Bellamy's writing. He's got a great surreal vibe to it. Now, this had some wonderful dark visceral imagery. But despite that, for some reason, and I think it was maybe the parade of imagery that was here, I couldn't help but think about people in costumes, like trick-or-treating or out on Halloween night. I liked how this seemed to delve a little bit into the history of darkness and Halloween. Especially, I like the stanza that start with the scarecrow rode as popped in head as stormers walk in midnight row. Excellent, right here. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
I thought it was fantastic, right? Yeah, you did a great job reading it, Robert. But, you know, as we tread for swinging ghouls, a devil under us bangs in scarred hands where a puller's night crush carries a sister's tricky greeter of topped carry cut sneakers of bobbing apple corpses. And right there, I mean, you can see, picture bodies bobbing and, you know, so it's just a haunting poem. It's a fantastic imagery.
Absolutely. And Robert, how about you?
Well, I thought it was very interesting and intriguing in a way. I would think it could be read backwards because I was looking at it like starting from the bottom to the top, and it seems as though it could almost be read in reverse. So I don't know if that's intentional or if not, or if it's just me. But yeah, the imagery, like Gray pointed out, the bobbing apple corpses came to mind, and then the scarecrow road, you know, scarecrows have always creeped me out as a kid. And then the witch of fallen gallows, tree hangs old host, you know, which is hanging from the trees. And I thought that he did there was a whole lot of excellent imagery in here that really set the stage for, you know, Halloween and the creepiness that would ensue. And like All Hallows Eve, we stride the Scarecrow Road again. He mentions the Scarecrow Road. So, yeah, he did a good job in this presentation, although, you know, being kind of all over the place in my mind.
Excellent. Thank you, Robert. And Jean?
You know, I thought it was a well-penned piece by Jim. Great imagery and nicely expressed darkness. So thanks for the share, Jim. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, everyone. I think the best way to look at this is Halloween with the Addams Family.
Yeah,
everything lined up. All manner of horrors and fun to be had all at once.
Makes sense.
Thank you very much, Jim. Since we're at the back end of things, Gene, great show. Had a wonderful time tonight. Nicely dark and deliberate walking into October. Pam, thank you. And Robert and Gray, thank you for helping us out with the reads and comments. Really appreciate it. And Peter and Robbie on the board, thank you very much. And we'll be doing this all month long as we roll into the back end.
Absolutely. It'll be awesome. But great show, Rex. Great prompts and wonderful writes. And thanks, guys, for calling in and hanging out with us. Gray, Robert, Pam. Absolutely. Pee-wee for hanging on the board out there. Yep. I'm just repeating what you said, Rex. It sounded good. So, yeah, wonderful.
Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Much love, everybody.
Much love, Greg. Much love. Oh, my gosh.